Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in. It is a game day, and we are doing weather updates throughout the course of the show. Just to compare tonight's matchup for the second time this week, Buffalo and Winnipeg. And right now we are sitting at 26 here in the Queen City with a real feel of like about 16 degrees. Marty, is that hotter or colder than Winnipeg?
It's hotter than Winnipeg. Winnipeg is colder than that right now.
It is. It is 13 in Winnipeg with a real feel of 6. So
yes. And then look, there's
and both
there's
teams some, would like to get hotter. Let's start.
Both
there.
Teams would like to get hotter on the ice. So I feel like in Winnipeg is maybe the exception to the rule. Every NHL arena was told to get colder this year for ice quality. In Winnipeg, they don't turn the thermostat down. They open the doors.
Oh,
and it just makes sure that... But you know what? I'll say this. I always really liked Winnipeg for those that like mock it and knock it down. I get it's cold. But you know what? Like... put an extra jacket, have an extra coffee, go have a heated vest, whatever, go outside and enjoy it. The wind gets a little bit much sometimes, but I enjoyed the people of Winnipeg, the city of Winnipeg, the spending a few extra days in there. It's always been, you know, a fun place for me to go.
I can assure you, not only in recent history, i.e. the last week, but historically since I've lived here, almost equal opportunity wind compared to Winnipeg.
Oh,
so
yeah.
we are not.
And they don't have lake effect snow in Winnipeg. They don't get the lake effect snow.
There is
a lake,
no.
But it's not the same.
Yeah, they have a lot of water. There's no question. Anyway,
yes.
Tonight, Buffalo, Winnipeg, it's a Sabres team that's trying to replicate what we saw Monday against the Jets, and yet at the same time completely forget about their latest game against Philadelphia.
And maybe being that it's the Jets tonight will be an easier reminder of how you played them and the confidence and how you played them, right? So for me, that and Luukkonen, you know, most likely going back in. So, you know, he was in his own net at the morning skate in Winnipeg. So he's, you know, we're never getting confirmation, but we can say most likely being the guy. I think that it's just basically saying, let's run the same plan, the same team, the same everything we did on Monday, and let's have that feeling. Because they lost it in Philly on Wednesday. They lost that feeling, you know, from the get-go, and now they got to gain it from the get-go. Winnipeg went into Montreal, right, on Tuesday, and at the end of their road trip,
Wednesday.
And they looked a lot better. So that's that's the thing here. Was it Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wednesday, sorry. The days of this week, because of games on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it's completely throwing me off.
We don't want anybody thinking the Jets are more rested than the Sabres.
No, they are not. And they had to, you know, both teams had to travel from basically the same distance all the way to Winnipeg. But no, they looked a lot better against Montreal on Wednesday. So, you know, they kind of had a players-only meeting after Monday night's game in Buffalo. That shook them up a little bit.
Well, and the Jets are doing us a favor by starting early in their local time, and that's why the morning skate has unfolded already. It's a 6 p.m. start in the Central Time Zone. It's 7 for us, so 6:30 pregame here on MSG. Yeah. I have I think this is a good time to talk about it, although it might be hard to get specifics without, you know, you being on site and maybe talking to some guys. But the fallout, if you want to look at one comment from Lindy Ruff after the Philadelphia game, was geared towards his top players.
Yes.
And then not passing the test, basically, his words. Last night, Tampa and their leading goal scorer, Brandon Hagel got benched.
Yeah.
And then came back in the third period. It scored twice to get them even before they ultimately lost at the end. I think, like, what is your take on benching guys in game or the next game or whatever? I get it. These are different situations, but that's about as big as you can get right now. Tampa is one of the hottest teams and Hagel's their hottest goal scorer. And it clearly reset him. Right. So I'm just wondering how you look at this based on the fact that it's trending towards same lineup tonight.
It's trending towards same lineup. And maybe it's because it is Winnipeg. If it had been like Calgary, for example, you start in Calgary. Maybe that's not the case. Right. But you're going to try to run it back from what you did on Monday and look so good. Now, Tampa has had John Cooper for a long time as a coach. You know, he's going to try to have his message be delivered in a consistent way. But if that doesn't work, sometimes you got to go out of the box. They've had a lot of success. So maybe it was just a one-off, you know, hey, Hagel, don't like the way you're playing. You're not giving me what I need. We're gonna sit you for a few shifts. The issue nowadays, and it used to happen way more often, the issue nowadays is how do you build that coach-player relationship in that way? Like John Tortorella would bench anybody and everybody. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And he didn't care if you liked him or didn't like him. He's like, I'm the coach and you do what I say. And that's the way it goes. I don't think that's what Lindy Ruff is trying to use as his coaching method, basically. Like, I don't care if you guys like me. And it's not about being liked or not. It's not a popularity contest, but it's trying to get the best out of your players. So, you know what? Like, Kucherov is going to be handled in a different way than Brendan Hagel will be handled.
And Jake Gensel. He's been benched before, too.
But he's been benched before, too.
Year.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, for different reasons, for, you know, maybe Kucherov is more lack of effort. You know what? Like, you're not giving me an effort. You're sitting down. Not so much you're turning the puck over, because Kucherov will turn the puck over because he's trying to make plays. So you don't want to take that away from him, but what you want is an effort. Hagel would be a different situation. You know what? You're one of our best two-way forward. You're not managing the puck right now, and you're not in the right position. I'm going to sit you. So different reasons from Hagel to Kucherov. Different reasons for different players. But, I mean, I'm a little old school in that way. I think that at any moment, having a guy sit a few shifts is never a bad thing. Yeah. If there is a steady progression after that, if there is a response after that, and, you know, your top line, when you mentioned the Sabres top line against Philly, I heard, you know what, I really like Owen, Bulldog's kid, on GR just because he's a goalie and I used to work with him or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he had I don't want to call it a mini rant, but in the morning show, but he basically said, you know, the top line mentioned, like, we had some bad bounces to go against. You know, bad bounces happen all the time. That's what Jeremy was saying. And I was like listening and I was like, yes, I'm all with you. Like, you cannot control bad bounces. As a goalie, I couldn't control if it went off somebody's pants and in or whatever. You know what I could control? Am I fighting the puck, like, to see the puck? Am I pushing? Like, you got to control what you can control. And bad bounces will go against you. And you're the top line. What are you doing? Like, you're going to get good bounces, bad bounces. But what you can control is your effort and your energy and what you give. And they didn't give that last game. So that's why the Lindy said, you know, like they failed the test. Like that was a good test and they failed the test.
Kucherov, by the way, 19 shot attempts last night in what turned out to be, and he was firing right to the buzzer and his stick, of course, hit the glass when they lost, because that's typically what Kucherov does. He gets very, very frustrated when things don't go his way. But that, yes, you know, is kind of, should be the norm. We don't know the lineup yet, obviously. It could very well look the same. Kozak, of course, has been knocking on the door to try to get back in. Had a great game in Winnipeg last year. If he comes in, you know, who do you think would be the automatic to come out?
I would think Dunn would probably be the one to come out, right? Yeah. If somebody comes in, it just seems like it would be the rotation, right?
Like, but the rotation is actually, like, Kozak's not part of a rotation. Greenway is actually part of a rotation right now because of managing his health. So
yeah, I think we're expecting Greenway to be back now. Mm-hmm. Like when you look at the way that the end of morning skate happened and whatnot, we're expecting Greenway to be back and Dunn to be out. So that's kind of the expectation. And so you had, you know, the Philly game where Philly had DeLaurier in the lineup. Dunn was trying to get him going a little bit. Maybe that's why he played, because there's maybe a fighting element to it. And and Dunn was looking for DeLaurier to go. But by the time it's 3-1 and 4-1, DeLaurier is not stupid. He's not going to go and chance that. So there was that. But I think right now you'd probably go back with Greenway and Dunn would sit one. Not that he's done bad, but that's what the rotation has been.
Twitter poll today, obviously, as Buffalo looks to find answers here on the road, which is two road wins this season, both coming beyond regulation time. They have won three of the last four in Winnipeg, so this could be a good omen. But the temperature is our concern on our Sabres live poll.
Yeah.
Marty, give the people their options as to what they have individually endured over the course of their lives.
So endured outside doesn't mean like the thermometer or your app on your phone says it's minus 35 and you're inside next to the fireplace. Like that's, you've actually gone outside and done something to endure it. So basically it's very easy. What's the coldest temperature you've ever endured outside? Zero or hotter, zero to minus 10, minus 10 to minus 20 and colder. Now, I would say it's not so much colder as minus 20 and freezing. That's what it is. Like, colder doesn't do it justice when it's minus 20 and more. But 40% say minus 20 and colder, about 30% minus 10 to minus 20. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between saying I'm walking to my car in minus 30 degrees or I'm doing the snowblower and I'm walking the dog at minus 30, right? There's a big, big difference there. But I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
When I played midget hockey, and I put it on X right now, when I played midget hockey in Amos, which is way up north, the buses wouldn't come and pick us up at normal time in the morning when it was more minus 40 and below. Mm-hmm. And they say, we need the sun to come out, warm up the buses, so we'd have a two-hour delay for the pickup. So instead of being a 7:30 pickup, it was a 9:30 pickup. And we would be outside. We'd be playing like street hockey because the snow at minus 40, Duffer, when it's back down, it's so slick. You have a ball out there. Yep. It was so much fun. And the snow banks were great to hammer somebody in them. So we would have a two-hour hockey game before going to school.
Do you remember your coldest temp you've endured?
Probably like minus 45, something like that. Like, I think so. What was your coldest?
Definitely over minus 50. That happened early in my college life in Calgary. And I think has come very close to that here since again, the wind is wicked here. You think of the, you know, terrible storm of 2022 over the holidays. Like, that was sustained like 60 mile an hour winds in the dead of winter, right? Like, it's hard to get much colder than that. I will say this. I remember one trip we were on with the Sabres in St. Paul. I was watching the local news, and they were pointing out areas of the state that were well into minus 70s at that moment. I had never seen it graphically like that pronounced. Like,
what color purple does it get to? Because purple is like reserved for the minus 20, 30. Like, it's got to be black, like on the screen when that happens.
Unbelievable.
You know what? It was a dry cold, though, and when I was up there in Amos. So you didn't get outside and it didn't hit you with the humidity and the cold. Now, by the time you realize My feet are frozen. It was maybe too late because they were really frozen. The thawing process in the bathtub wasn't good, but we got a few good comments. we got somebody that said 57 Fahrenheit in Boca Raton, but luckily the sun is coming out and it warmed up a little bit for some yachting. So yes, you're getting that right now. We got minus 46 in Pinedale, Wyoming. That's good.
I love that. Now, as far as the game tonight and a 5-1 win over the Jets on Monday, who do you have for anytime goal scorer? Because I feel like we've gone cold on this front of late.
I'm going to go with Josh Doan tonight. And the reason is the Josh Doan, Shane Doan, Winnipeg connection. I think he'll go in there and score a goal. And you look at Josh Doan, he's at plus 320. So I feel like that's good value for Josh Doan to get a goal in this one tonight.
I'm going as far off the board as possible. And I don't know if producer Sam can even retrieve such numbers. I don't think they exist. But I'm going with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen for his first ever goal.
Oh, my goodness. So, like, Upi's
you know
got,
me and empty netters. I love me empty netters.
I know, but I like of all the goalies around the league, I don't think like he's maybe he can shoot the puck well. He doesn't like play the puck a ton, and I don't know if he'd feel like confident to do it. But why not? Like we had a goalie goal in the WHL in juniors a couple of days ago. So maybe that he saw the highlight and he's like, I'm going to give it a shot. That would be plus 500,000 probably. Like I'm going to, for $100 bet, you would win $500,000.
Well, I don't care who scores the empty netter, quite frankly. I would just like to see it happen against a Winnipeg team that has lost 10 of its last 14 games. So, Marty, when you look at this road ahead and the trip that they're on, it's a six-gamer and they dropped game one in Philadelphia. You know, where and how do they find the wins and find answers on the road right now?
Well, I mean, it's got to start in Winnipeg tonight, but I look at this trip, Calgary, Vancouver, and Seattle, in my opinion, should be marked as W's. Like, you want to be able to salvage a successful road trip having lost one game in Philadelphia. The three that I name, Calgary, Vancouver, and Seattle, have to be wins. And then maybe you get out with a win in Winnipeg as well and you say, hey, we could go 4-2 on this trip. And I'm not saying Edmonton is a loss. That's not what I'm saying, like looking at it, but I can see a lot of wins. Like you lost in Philly, you failed the test. You failed the test. But these next five games are very, very winnable. Very, you could be 5-1 coming home after this six-game road trip, having lost Philly the first one. So I'm saying there's at least three wins in there that you have to have to make it at the very least okay.
Well, Flames have been a lot better, including their win in Buffalo. They've gone 6-3-2 in the last 11. I think Edmonton has looked their best over the last couple of games, and you know, so I don't think it gets any easier on the strip. Seattle, of course, got blown up last night. We'll have more on that coming up. But Shayna Goldman at the bottom of the hour, of course.
Yes.
Around the NHL, speaking of getting blown out last night, what was your dazzled or disturbed?
Okay, well, dazzled for me was the New York Islanders taking a 4-0 lead on the Colorado Avalanche like 7-8 minutes into the second period. Mm-hmm. They were all over the Avalanche. And not that Mackenzie Blackwood was great in that. He gave up a couple of squeakers. But this was the first time I've seen the Avalanche overwhelmed by another team. Now, it got to be 5-3 and early in the third, with 2 minutes into the third, Colorado scored to make it 5-3, and I thought, uh-oh, like, maybe, you know, there is a comeback here, but the Islanders shut it down and had an empty netter. So that was my dazzling. The fact that the Islanders have been surprising a lot of people, Patrick Roy has been pushing all the right buttons, and they were able to dominate the Colorado Avalanche in this game.
They were, but the Islanders have left. And by the way, easy to say after the fact, but had we openly discussed that matchup on the show yesterday, I was going to tell everyone to put all their money on the Islanders.
Bet the farm.
100% in on the Islanders last night, and it ended up being the case. I've actually lost track of what my dazzled and or disturbed are. But
well, you had Steven Stamkos' game winner. That was
Let's start with Marchenko because you know me.
Marchenko, yes, that was the so end of the game goalie pulled, right?
No. The shootout clincher.
Okay,
so
yes.
The Jackets, get a late tire from Fantilli. They end up in a shootout. Kent Johnson opens it with the goal. Now all they have to do is close it out in round three with another goal from Marchenko, who was just back into the lineup. Marchenko now stands alone in NHL history with the highest shooting percentage among anyone who's taken 13 shots or more. He has scored on 9 of 13. That is 69.2%. Like, it's insane how good and how easy did he make that goal look? Oh, my goodness.
That was Ilya Kovalchuk on me one time. He came down the middle and shot at 5-0. It actually hit the back bar and came out right through my legs again.
Oh, no.
It went in and out through my legs. And I was like, well, I wasn't expecting it. And that's why sometimes it's good to pre-scout players and kind of see their tendencies. But if you're really locked in on one move, like I feel like Cam Talbot was locked in on Marchenko was going to do a fake and move somewhere. So he stayed on his feet. And when he shot it, he was like, you got me, bud. But because the Kent Johnson goal was really nice to the back end as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they scored 2 out of 3 and they didn't need Detroit to go on their third shooters.
So let's go to the Tampa game. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. No, not Tampa. Pardon me. Nashville, because you wanted Stamkos.
Yes.
And I wanted Stamkos. And I'm going to talk Stamkos with Shayna just to ruin the surprise at the bottom of the hour.
Okay, good.
But Stamkos has gotten hot.
Yeah.
And we have started to see this play repeatedly. Imminent scoring chance. The net is destroyed by Gus Forsling. He is deep in it, and it's off when Stamkos steps into the game-clinching goal. We know this now to be the right call as far as how the league wants to play it. But what was dazzling for Stamkos, who's now scored in 4 of his last 5, and it was pretty passing to set it up, the disturbing aspect is what could have happened to Gus Forsling based on what we know historically of Steven Stamkos' shot. He was literally sitting upright in the crease, no mask, obviously, staring a Stamkos blast. Like, that was insane. I'm so thankful that he did not get seriously injured on that.
Could have got hit right in the face. You're right. But here's the thing. Players in the NHL now have to know that even if the net gets taken out, you got to shoot the puck. If you have an imminent scoring chance, you have to shoot the puck. Just like, and this is funny because it happened to Jacob, one of his game a couple of weeks ago, where they thought they had scored and everybody on the ice stopped playing, but it went post and post and out. And the defenseman grabbed the puck and shot it towards the corner. And you know how it happens often after you think you've given up a goal?
Yeah.
You fire it back into your net like you're mad. Like, I'm like, never, ever shoot a puck back in your net because you don't know if it gone in. But if you shoot back in the net, it's a goal. Like, they can't take that away. But the same thing here, Stamkos, an imminent scoring chance. So I still think that that has to be determined as what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
How many plays, how many passes? Like, I feel like this was the ultimate, like, there was a pass made, but it was as the net was coming off, and Stamkos didn't handle it, go to the back end, make the play. He shot it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot it right away, even if the net is off its mooring, because that's an imminent scoring chance at that moment.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, I don't know whether it is similar for the league in these moments in game where, remember, we used to count the frames and the seconds on a late hit?
Yeah.
To determine how late it was. That's what I feel like we're trending towards in an untrained mind, right? Because we're all seeing these things and they're getting clustered, quite frankly. Like, we're seeing more of them for some reason. This is a thing. And I don't know if we truly understand, like, well, how long could it actually go to continue the imminent scoring chance? Like, is it 2 seconds? Is it 3.5? Like, I don't know anymore.
I almost feel like that's the, you know, in football, when the play clock is going down to zero, like the referee is looking at the play clock, zero, looks back, gives you a chance to snap. I feel like that's the same thing. If you're the referee in the corner, the net gets taken out. Okay, look up at that moment. Give it like that 1 second, and boom, it's over. So again, if Stamkos doesn't have the puck in the time that the referee goes from the net is knocked off, I'm looking up, he has the puck, he has his opportunity. Now, if Stamkos decides to give it back to, you know, the guy on the side and it goes in, now I'm like, okay, that scoring chance is not for multiple players. It's for one guy only, and that's on Stamkos.
It's Friday. That means fun, typically. Can you dive into a less than 60-second old-school Marty Rantanen for us?
Yes, okay? I can dive into that. Because so I was always saying I like the way that the playoffs are set right now with the division. Three teams in the division, three teams in the other, two wild card. And the other night I was watching hockey and I'm like, you know what? I don't care if the Washington Capitals win. I don't care if the Carolina Hurricanes win, because they have two playoff spots that the Sabres cannot get. So technically, the Sabres don't have access to eight spots in the Eastern Conference. They have access to five, and five out of 13 teams. So people say you have 50% chance of making the playoffs because eight out of 16. Mm-hmm. Technically, that's not true because there's three spots you don't have access to. So you're fighting 13 teams to get to five spots. And that's why now I'm really on 1 through 8 in the conference. Like, you're going through 1 through 8. The eight best teams in the conference will make it. You have a true 50-50 shot at getting there, at getting a playoff spot, instead of a 5 out of 13 kind of shot. So to me, that is my ranting in here. I don't care if Washington or Carolina wins because I don't have access to those spots anymore. Now, the third spot, I don't care. Like, I want Pittsburgh to win. Win all your games. Why? Because they'll finish third in the Metro. Sabres don't have access to that. That's how I see it, and I don't think that's right. So make it a true 8-for-16 in the Eastern Conference.
Well, in the Atlantic last night, Boston wins. Ottawa loses. Tampa loses. Florida loses. Yeah. The Maple Leafs won. And, of course, the Red Wings salvage a point in the shootout loss with Columbus. Tons of around the NHL, tons of stories to get to. And that's why Shayna Goldman will be joining us after the break. But not before we remind you of what is upcoming here in less than a month and a half. And it is the Ryan Miller Catwalk for Charity. It's presented by New Era Cap Foundation. You can join us at Babeville on Friday, January 16th. It's a fun fashion forward event featuring a terrific lineup of appearances from Ryan's 0506 teammates, a live set from the Strictly Hip, open bar, and more. It is, and always has been, quite frankly, since Ryan launched this, one of the great in-season events. And it's so awesome that Ryan is doing it again, as he did last year here in the city. Sabres.com/catwalk to get your tickets. Shayna Goldman is straight ahead on Sabres Live.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you. at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We are getting closer to the Christmas celebration, and we want you to become a holiday angel and support local families in need this season. It's presented by AMR. Holiday Angels lets you purchase gift cards, donate wrapping supplies. Every single contribution makes a tremendous difference in many people's lives. Learn more at sabres.com/holidayangels. We promised more, we get it, because Shayna Goldman's here on Friday from The Athletic. Shayna, at this time of year, when you start seeing people share their musical taste and habits for the year, do you get annoyed by everybody doing this? Do you have your own lists of favorites to share?
I don't get annoyed by everyone doing it. I think it's fun to see what people listen to. And it's also fun to see how people's like tastes and variety can change. Because like I know for me, my playlists are what I listen to on a daily basis. But it's also, you know, if we have a party, I have a separate party playlist. So it'll be like, you're listening to a ton of EDM this year. And I'm like, well, that's for parties. That's not for personal. But no, I like, have you ever seen The Rain? The remix version of it was in my top five. It's a banger. But it's not what I'm listening to every day, or is it?
You don't know. What is, because I've been seeing a lot of, what is your listening age? Like, that's the thing, right? Like,
yeah.
People are old souls when it comes to their music preference sometimes compared to their actual age. So what would you say your listening age is?
I'm shocked. Mine is not older because, like, I listen to, like, when I'm writing, I love listening to, like, the Eagles and the Allman Brothers. Yeah. And yet all of the other garbage I listened to brought me down to 20, which is younger than I get on Wii Sports. So now I feel like I need to try to, like, work on my game there so they match. Like, I'm in my 20s for Wii Sports and now for Spotify. So I think we're on to something.
I don't think Apple does it with the age because that's what I use, and I have not seen that. I've seen my replay, obviously, but the age thing. Marty, if you had to guess, what do you think my age would
older
be?
Older than me.
With music.
No, I'm so, but that's why I said older than me, because I want people to like stop like guessing wrong. But anyway, I would say your age, I would say you're younger.
Yeah.
You're probably like in the 28 to 32 range.
I was going to say 35, but I'll take that.
Yeah, I was going to say 33. That's where, because I'm like, I know you listen to The Beaches like me and music like that. And we love the pop girlies, and Chapel's definitely on there, which has to bring you down.
Halsey's on there. That's going to bring you down and stuff like that. So, yeah.
As for On Ice, I think one of the more interesting developments in the league over the last five games, specifically for the Nashville Predators, who have won four of those five, is the hot streak, or at least warming up significantly, Steven Stamkos. And this, I'm not intrigued by it necessarily for the Predators. I'm intrigued by if others get interested and Stamkos recognizes, we're still not what I thought we would be, and he considers going somewhere else. Do you see that as a possibility this year?
Wow, what an amazing segue. I just wrote an article on both Steven Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly. So I had the fun of digging into their games to see what they bring to a lineup now versus, you know, for Stamkos specifically, Tampa Bay. Obviously, there's going to be no trade clauses and no movement clauses to navigate here. And it's whether the players want to, but it would make sense because the Predators are not going anywhere. And I think these players both have something left in the tank. Stamkos, I think the recent hot streak is very encouraging for him because I think the Predators have finally figured out how to use him, you know, I don't know, 107 games later, because year one, they forced him to play center a little bit too often. And he was playing with guys like Forsberg and Marchessault, and Marchessault's play driving and puck moving really dropped off. And that's like an element that we know Stamkos needs help with at this point in his career, right? He needs to be with a good playmaker. He needs to be with someone who can play in transition, and he needs defensive support. So all of that was exposed. This year, he started with Eric Howland. Now he's playing with Ryan O'Reilly. So he has a good playmaking defensive center. And I think that helps a lot. And obviously playing with O'Reilly means you're going to go up against tougher competition, which is what Stamkos has been doing this year. Not perfect for his role. But then again, if you're balancing out his weaknesses enough, I think you can allow him to focus on the hallmarks to his game, which is his shot, right? Like, we know it on the power play, but at even strength too, he's someone who can take a ton of chances and has the finishing ability to be a difference maker, not as consistently as in his prime, but still at like a middle six rate.
So, well, Stamkos and Nashville beats Florida last night. The Panthers have a ton of injuries. We knew that was going to be the case, but kind of like the Rangers last year, I always felt like the Rangers were going to make a push and get into the playoffs, and I kind of have that same feeling about the Panthers, but I'm starting to worry a little bit. We're getting late into the season. Like, it's not even 30 games, but I'm like, I need to see it. Should we be worried, or should you be worried, or should the Florida Panthers be worried about where they are and the chance of missing the playoffs this year after going to three straight cups and winning two of them?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what works in their favor is, one, they're the Florida Panthers, so we can't count them out. And if anybody knows how to turn it on when it matters the most, it's the Panthers, right? And we've seen that start in the playoffs. I think the Panthers and the Oilers are the two teams you get to the playoffs and then watch them flip a switch. Okay, so the challenge is going to be doing that in the regular season. Now it matters all of a sudden when it really hasn't the last, you know, 2 years for them. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to make things pretty interesting here, but obviously, it's going to be navigating the injury situation, and they're going to benefit from the return of Matthew Tkachuk soon. And I think, you know, he might have some offseason rust and injury rust to shake off. But I would imagine by January, he's back, you know, mid-January, then you have the Olympics, that he's back up to speed. So that's going to help a lot, because all of a sudden the forward depth chart looks completely different, right? Sam Reinhardt is not your number one forward. He's your two, which is a better role for him, a two or a three. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you still don't have Barkov, so I wonder what happens down the middle. But getting guys like Lustrainen back, like getting that forward capacity up to the strength we know it can be, I think is going to be the first step. If they don't turn things around then, I'm a little more worried, because it's their all-around game that's just like a little bit disappointing here. But I'm not going to panic until they fall on their face with Tkachuk in the lineup, basically.
I am panicking would be the wrong word, but I am genuinely thinking that they will not make it now this year. It just feels like no matter what they do the rest of the way, it's going to be uphill. And it happens. Doesn't happen often, but it does happen. And they've lost five in a row at home, which is something that hasn't happened in more than 5 years as well. So we'll see how that plays out. A reason why I mentioned Stamkos earlier is dovetailing off of a conversation we had with Darren Dreger yesterday, which was about Dallas and their potential cap flexibility if Sagan, you know, is shut down for the entire season with his injury. Could Dallas go after a Stamkos, or who do you think Dallas would go after to try to, you know, fill that void and use up that cap space?
I wonder if a Stamkos makes more sense for a team a little bit lower in the contention tiers, just because it's multiple years, right? Like, you're not just committing to him at $8 million this year, it's the next 2 years, and the Predators only have one retention slot left, and I don't know how much they're jumping to use it. I mean, they could, right? The two come up after this season in Sissons and Ekholm, so they could be fine. But he could make sense for Dallas in that he's not expected to be the guy there, which is like the key to all of this, right? It's making sure he's sheltered enough and has enough support to play his game, because it's not peak Stamkos. And the Stars are so loaded with skill that you have Wyatt Johnson, Mikko Rantanen, and Roope Hintz, and Jason Robertson that'll all be above him in the depth chart. So he could make sense on the ice from that perspective. But I wonder if they could go a little bit lower key here too, because right now you look at the way that they have the top six slotted, and they're going to get Duchesne back, so maybe that adds someone for the third line, and it's like two guys per line, throw someone else on there and let them just like, you know, go for the ride. I feel like that's what Jamie Benn's doing now. That's what Sam Steele's doing. So if you can find that midpoint between a Stamkos and a Steele, that's a little bit cheaper. That can make sense too.
Shayna, I know goalie interference is always your favorite topic to talk about. The Sabres had a challenge go the other way. I did a little homework this morning. So there was 33 goalie interference challenges this season. 24 were upheld, meaning that 24 ended up in a penalty to the team that challenged, and 9 were overturned, so the team won it. And out of the 24 that were upheld, only 4 power play goals were scored. So they're 4 for 24 in those power play. Do you think teams should look at the numbers and saying, well, you know what, only 9 for 33 were overturned, we shouldn't be challenged? Or the other side of it saying, well, they only scored 4 power play goals, so the chances are very slim that we'll get, you know, victimized on that. So which number stands out more to you?
I'm going to say the rate in which it's upheld, because it's that inconsistency that stands out to me above all else. Like, you really don't know what way it's going to go. And that's even worse in the playoffs. But I think sometimes
we know a little bit more, because it's over 65% now that the league is going to, they're going to upheld it. So it's not 50-50 anymore. Coaches that say 50-50. No, it's 24 out of 33, right?
Yeah. And I think every single year we see that number kind of similar. And then in the playoffs, it drops to like 25%. And it's like, okay, is it because the calls are bad, or is it because some of the challenges are bad? But I wouldn't like rest my laurels on the idea of like, don't worry. No one's scoring power play goals on that, because power plays are so efficient in today's game, like more and more. And let's, as much as you can like scout that and prepare for that, like we're seeing power plays get more dangerous by the day. So yeah, that would concern me a little bit more. But I do think it's opponent dependent, right? Like if you're going up against a team like the Kings, who have been struggling a lot on the power play, make the challenge. Why not go for it? But say you're playing, I don't know, New Jersey, who has really good power play, or Chicago, maybe then you have to think twice.
Or the Flyers, because that happened to us. So, Duffer, I think you're on mute. I see your red dot on. So,
I will say this: the stories, whether it's goaltender interference or not, have been endless here. But especially with the teams that are struggling, like St. Louis, and it's been an emotional, eventful week for Jordan Binnington. before we wrap, I'd love to get your thoughts on whether you think Binnington and or Quinn Hughes both move before the end of this season, because both find themselves in very challenging situations right now.
I feel like I would give a better chance of Hughes than Binnington. And I think the Canucks are going to royally mess this entire situation up. Like, let that be known. But I think goaltenders are really tough to move in season. We talk about it every year. Like, is this the year we're going to see all these goalie trades? And they just never happen. And so even though there are teams that need help in net, and I think that there are options out there for Binnington, I still feel like goalie trades are more of an off-season thing, because it's so much harder to adjust on the fly. And then there's the whole Olympic element of it all. If any team's going to want to trade for Binnington, it's going to be after the Olympics, to make sure, like, wait, is he still the guy this year? Does he still have that magic to turn things around and then carry that into the rest of the year? But now you're talking about a trade closer to March, and I think that's giving a goalie even less time to adjust. And someone like Binnington, I don't know, just my vibe, I think he might need a little bit more time.
Shayna, what is the coldest you have endured outside temperature? Because it's getting cold in Buffalo, and they're playing in Winnipeg, so it's colder over there. Our poll online is basically zero or hotter, zero to minus 10, minus 10 to minus 20, or minus 20 and colder. And this is not like walking to your car. Enduring temperature is you're doing an outdoor activity at that temperature.
Oh, man, I would have to say none of the above. We don't get below zero here, really.
So zero and hotter is
zero.
Oh, yeah, zero and hotter. Yeah, okay. I thought it said zero to 10. Sorry. No, zero and hotter, like 15 degrees. I could believe that for sure. Like, running around the yard with the dogs to make sure they don't stay out there for more than like a certain number of minutes, being like, all right, timer's up. Get inside, whatever you're doing.
Did you have any more NHL questions, Marty?
No, I'm just a weather man right now. I'm doing my my Pat Hammer here on WGR and MSG.
Has Leonard from the Capitals entered the chat for Calder?
I mean, why not? It's
He's
tough.
Right there.
It's going to be. It's a deep field, right? Like, I feel like Demidov isn't getting the hype that he still should. It's like Schaefer and the goalies. And listen, they should all be there. But I think Leonard's been really, really, really great there in Washington. And I think it's just like this all-around game. Like, we knew he had the snarl and the physicality and the energy, but it's nice to see the skill a little bit more consistently too. And it's, playing on that top unit on the power play is helping him a lot, but it's also what he's doing at even strength that's super impressive. And that growth is huge for a team like the Capitals. Like, they need this next wave to keep taking over, like guys like, Protas and McMichael.
Did
We're
last
due for
year,
a
yeah.
goalie. We're due for a goalie, people. The last goalie to win the Calder was Steve Mason in 2008-2009. Like, we're due for a goalie here, and Jesper Wallstedt is probably that guy.
So I agree with you. We're due for a goalie, but I think if Dustin Wolfe, who single-handedly almost dragged the Flames to the playoffs in a starting capacity, didn't win it last year, and it's no shade at, like, Celebrini and Hudson were incredible too, but, like, just goalie to goalie, Wallstedt's playing – he's been amazing, but he's playing half of the games with Gustafson, then I wonder if that's going to hurt his case. I mean, maybe just because he makes the playoffs, it'll be like, oh, it's okay. But the Calder is such a tough one because what is the gauge, right? Like, someone doesn't have to make the playoffs to be in it like you would for, like, the Vezina or the Hart. But then again, now you're going position to position to position, and you're going, who's the best at this? And we're all comparing apples to oranges, and not everybody has the creativity to do that.
Shayna, thank you. We appreciate it, as always. We'll look forward to next week. And as we roll on here on Sabres Live, we want you to keep in mind the Sabres Road Crew Party, which is happening in Nashville. It's a watch party this time around. First time we've ever done that. It's January 19th. That's a Monday afternoon. It will get started quite early in Nashville. And this Road Crew Party is going to have alumni, specials, everything that we've come to expect in these Road Crew events. But it is Nashville on a Monday afternoon, so that makes it pretty unique. And the proceeds support the Sabres Foundation. Of course, the very next night, the Sabres will be in Nashville. So make it a doubleheader. Secure your spot.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
At sabres.com/roadcrew. We're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabretooth is boasting that it is the perfect gift. It's a kids' club featuring two levels of fun, the All-Star and Rookie memberships, and you can learn how each option helps the young Sabres fan in your life stay connected with the team, awesome perks, monthly newsletter, special gifts, and more. All the details at sabres.com/kidsclub. Happy birthday to two former Sabres, both defensemen. Nate Beaulieu is 33, Kevin Holler is 55. And if I'm being honest, I'm still mad they traded Holler for Svoboda, and he, of course, Kevin, would win a cup with Montreal in 1993.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that was, 93 was a weird year, right? Montreal winning all these overtimes and depth players, right? It's like the Gilbert Delorme or whatever. It's like Gilbert Dion, not Delorme. It's John LeClair. It's whatever. But Nathan Beaulieu, Duffer. Whenever we say Nathan Beaulieu, we got to give the old woo, woo, the goal celebration, the little fist pump in the air. That was awesome. Yeah. So, but Nathan actually here did a lot in the community, like with going to Roswell, and was very liked and very genuine in his off-ice endeavor with the community here.
Sabres, Jets, tonight, our poll results as far as what you have endured from a temperature standpoint in your life. Marty, what's the latest? Is it the coldest?
What's the latest? Let me just pull it up quickly, because I believe that most people, 41.2%, have minus 20 or colder. Although, I want to know, like, when's the last time we've had temperature minus 20 and colder in Buffalo? I don't think it gets, like, yeah, we get to the single digits and it's like cold blue, right? It gets really, really cold. So to be minus 20, you have to have gone to places that that it gets pretty cold.
Tonight, your expectation for the group. Amherst, by the way, are playing in Charlotte, back-to-back games this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Tonight, Sabres, Jets.
Okay, so my expectations is the Jets are going to be a better team than they were last Monday. A bit of a trap game coming home after the long road trip, but still, they had Buffalo Monday. They are going to bounce back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.